Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland After Dark events announced for 2023, an opportunity for breakfast with Santa, Disney 100 merchandise hits the shelves.
Genie Plus adds more flexibility, a free tote for key holders, we finish our talk with Where in the Park, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 14th, 2022. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Martha Kay for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, holiday cards, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. A special thank you to Stephanie F., Kareen G., Stephanie S., and Joshua T. for your continued support. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dealweekly.net/support to join.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at ConciEars to catch us up on the news from the rest of the Disney universe.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with ConciEars, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our tour at Walt Disney World, where golf fans are about to find a newly redesigned classic. On December 12th, the Magnolia Course celebrates 50 years of golfing fun by unveiling most of a new course. No, not a mostly new course, most of the new course. Yes, only 14 holes of 18 are ready right now, but hey, people gotta golf. Celebrate along with the resort's original first golf course and try out holes with the new Disney themes. Each hole leads off with a commemorative plaque featuring a quote from either Walt Disney or Arnold Palmer. Arnold has a long history with Disney Golf as the resort's former PGA Tour host. Some of the holes have new tee box locations, some have new greens, and some have completely new layouts. If you're the type of guest who likes to haul your clubs long on vacation, make some time for the Magnolia on your next trip. And why not save some money on that trip? Most nights in March 2023, you can save big on resort hotel stays. Save $100 per night at a long list of hotels like the Contemporary, Grand Floridian, and Wilderness Lodge, or stay close to Epcot in the Beach Club or Boardwalk Inn. $100 off per night is a steal if you're staying at the Saratoga Springs Resort near Disney Springs. Several other resorts like Coronado Springs and all of the All-Star Resorts will net you $40 or $20 off per night. Can you afford to stay home? Let's head to sea. It feels a little early, but you'll want to plan ahead for cruises like these to the Caribbean. Starting in 2024, the Disney Dream departs Southern Florida on a series of 3- and 4-night cruises to the Bahamas, the Western Caribbean, and Disney's private island, Castaway Key. The brand new Disney Wish is also switching itineraries in 2024 to feature voyages from Port Canaveral. Nassau, the Bahamas, and Castaway Key are only part of the fun on these 3- to 4-night cruises. The Wish is packed with activities for adults and little ones alike, with Marvel characters, Star Wars experiences, and plenty of good old-fashioned Disney fun. The Disney Fantasy will take on some of the longer and more relaxing itineraries in 2024. Cruise the Eastern Caribbean to visit Tortola and St. Thomas. Other journeys explore Mexico and Jamaica. Every cruise makes a stop at Castaway Key, too. The benefit of these longer cruises is more time at sea, affording your family a little more time to enjoy the ship and not worry about excursion after excursion. That's my kind of cruise. All of these new experiences and itineraries go on sale this month, December 2022. If you want your pick of staterooms and departure dates, get in touch with ConciEars ASAP. We are ready to wait on hold to ensure you get the cruise of your dreams. Or wish. Or fantasy. See what I did there? And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, ConciEars. We look forward to planning something special for you and yours. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for that. Just a reminder that we will be off, not next week, but the week after next, like we do every year, to enjoy the holiday season. We will be back in the new year with more Disneyland news and information in 2023, when we will talk about some more stuff about the trip that we're going on and all of that good stuff. So lots of stuff to look forward to next year.
Yep. So just to be clear, this is the second to last episode for 2022. Now let's get to the news.
Well, nighttime will be more magical in the coming months with the return of Disneyland After Dark events. The resort announced the return of Sweethearts Night with the addition of Princess Night later on in the spring. Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night will take place on January 31st, February 2nd, 5th, 7th, 9th, 14th, and 16th. This event will include a themed fireworks show, a dance at the Royal Ball near It's a Small World, live jazz music on the Mark Twain, and more. For Princess Night on March 7th and 9th, Princess Minnie and Daisy will have a royal greeting for guests at the Main Street train station, a musical concert celebrating heroines, a high-energy candy-themed dance party at Tomorrowland Stage, and more. Both events run from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. with early mix-ins starting at 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at the link in our show notes.
So I will be honest, as soon as I saw this, I was super bummed because we were going to try and do Star Wars night this year. So they're like, Disney After Dark nights have been announced for 2023. And I look at it, I'm like, there's no Star Wars night. And so I got sad. But we realized these are like the first batch, because obviously they didn't also announce things like Oogie Boogie Bash. Right. So we're assuming we're going to get some more announcements of other After Hours events. These are just the first ones of the year, of the season, to kind of kick things off. I was really happy that it seems like they extended Sweethearts Night. I don't remember them having quite as many dates previous. Maybe they did and I missed it. But it looks like a fun night. I don't know if this would be something I would necessarily fly out to go be a part of an experience, but if I were local, 100%. Sorry, Vern, I'd be dragging you to Sweethearts Night for Valentine's Day, because I think that would be really fun and really magical. And I just think it'd be interesting to do because it's probably a different vibe, just because it's geared more towards adults and couples versus like families and young kids. Now, on the other spectrum, you've got Princess Night, which I think is probably, you know, that's much more of a family-friendly thing. I do feel bad for all of our little fans of princesses, though, because it would be a very late night for the younger fans. But it does sound like it'd be a fun event for those that are interested. Of the two, I'd probably pick Sweethearts Night over Princess Night, but neither of them are something I need to fly out to experience, if that makes sense, versus like Oogie Boogie Bash.
I am just really excited that they said that there's going to be a fireworks show.
That's true.
Which gets me really excited because I love fireworks shows. Obviously, the Sweethearts Night must have been popular the last time they had it because they have so many dates again this coming year. And then Princess Night, it's a new thing, so I think they only have a couple nights. I kind of like this idea that they are taking nights that were really popular before, adding some more nights to them, and then trying out some new things with just a couple nights to see kind of how it goes, and maybe they can flush it out a little bit. I'm interested to see as time goes on, like you said, I'm interested to see if Star Wars nights come back, which I think it probably will. I'm interested also to see if they have the reunion or whatever that people were kind of iffy about, if that's kind of wasn't a big uptake. Because I remember when we were there, there were still tickets for one of the nights that was really close to when we were there. So be interested to see kind of how that all shakes out. But I'm excited for more announcements.
I am hoping, because we thought last year with Star Wars Night specifically that there was such a demand for it, but they didn't have very many nights. It was like two or three nights in the beginning of the month, and then like one or two nights at the end of the month, and that was it. And I feel like that could be maybe not quite as long running as Oogie Boogie Bash, but I felt like they probably could have done with more dates on that. So I'm curious to see if, like with Sweethearts Night, if we'll see other After Dark events, the ones that were maybe more popular, if they'll have extended,
like Star Wars.
Yeah, if they'll have extended runs or however you want to say it. It's tough because, right, as us being the Uber fan that gets to visit the parks frequently, these After Hours things are exciting for us. I think they're exciting for locals, for key holders, that kind of like Disney land park fan. But on the flip side of it, the tough part about these parties is you're now shortening the other guest's day because right. everyone has to filter out of the park at a certain time for the ticketed event only. And the tickets for these do run about the same price as what a park day ticket would be. So it's not
for
like
way less time.
Yeah, it's not like they're that inexpensive. So it's kind of a balance. Like I'm excited about them, but I also get why they don't have them all the time and why they can't have them super frequent, because it is more of a strain on the park and it puts a bigger strain on the opposite park. So like these events are happening in Disneyland, so now you're pushing all of the non-ticketed special ticket event people that are visiting the parks. They're now flooding into DCA. Same with like during Oogie Boogie Bash, suddenly all those people,
right?
You know, people aren't dispersed as well as they had been. So,
will you remind me, did they ever have a Marvel night?
I don't, there was a Pixar night,
yeah. Because I don't like remember that's a Marvel like the next night. Thing that they should do is have like a Marvel night,
yeah.
And that could
you're
be a
right.
DCA.
That would be, yeah. Well, it would that would make sense with yeah. like Avengers campus there.
Was the Pixar night at DCA?
Yep.
Was Pixar Pier? Yeah,
yep. Pixar night was at DCA. That's a good point. Maybe we'll see it later this year.
Who yeah, knows? Maybe.
Well, this is kind of an interesting year, and this doesn't really seem like the most interesting news topic, but we wanted to touch on it because this is the first year that Magic Key holders won't have much of an opportunity to go to the parks for the rest of this calendar year. For one, the reservation calendar has very limited availability, but this is also the first time that the passes are blocked out over the holidays. So for those who want to buy a ticket, there are more options open. However, most of those options are for the park hopper tickets. A lot of the single day tickets reservations have already been booked up. I'm so curious. We're going to be there in the last stretch of when key holders have good to go days or could make reservations on the reservations calendar. We're going to be there the 18th, 19th, and 20th. The 21st is the first day that keys start getting like blocked out as far as, you know, for the holidays. The Inspire key is blocked out starting the 21st. The Believe key is blocked out that day. And then the Enchant key actually was blocked out. The Enchant and Imagine keys were actually blocked out earlier than that, with the Enchant's last day being the 17th and Imagine was last day being the 16th. So it's just going to be really interesting. I do think we probably had a lot of key holders that bought day tickets or bought park hoppers or bought, that bought tickets to be able to get into the park. So I'm just really curious what the feel of the park is going to be like this holiday season, what the crowd levels are going
to
be.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast actually tonight on my way over here that they were talking about, because they were talking about like the Bob's situation. And of course, one of the things that have been rumored is Bob Iger going to get rid of the reservation calendar? And they were talking about how it'll be interesting to see, because this is the first for Disneyland. This is the first holiday, right, with the reservations?
Second holiday. This is the first holiday, because we had reservations last year. This is the first holiday that you don't have any of the key, current sure. key levels are open to make reservations during the historically busy, busiest yeah. time of the year.
I'm interested to see what the parks look like from people who will be in the parks during this time to see... Is the promise of the reservation system actually happening where it will feel less busy? Because usually that week between Christmas and New Year's was slam-packed.
Yeah, it was like gridlock. Yeah. Like you couldn't even move some people.
So I'm really interested to see what that looks like.
I'm hoping for those that are going to be there during this time. We're going to be there right before this time.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for us that also it's more enjoyable. I get that it's going to be busy because there's a high demand for Disney. But like you said, with the reservations, I'm hoping that there's, that's going to help kind of pump the brakes a little bit
yeah.
so that it's not too insane like it had been pre-shutdown and pre-reservations.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Like it used to be to the point that you would like leave Disneyland because you were going to do something and they'd tell you at the gates,
you can't come back in.
Basically, if you leave, you're not guaranteed that you can come back in because they'd be hitting capacity.
I didn't think about that. That's one thing that like just won't with the reservations,
yeah.
as long as they stick around,
you
we won't have
that
problem
that.
Because you can come and go yep. as you please.
You won't have to worry about it.
Well, guests visiting Downtown Disney the week before Christmas may want to look into having breakfast with Santa. Catal Restaurant has some limited availability on December 17th, 18th, 23rd, and 24th. The event includes pictures with Santa, a stuffed animal for each child, family-style breakfast, bottomless mimosas, a hot cocoa cart, with tons of fixins, personalized stockings for kids, carolers, and more. Tickets are $110 per adult and $50 per child.
So as amazing as this sounds, and the menu, we'll talk about that in a minute, also sounds delicious. I don't think I could bring myself to spend $110 for this. I think it's so high because it does include things like bottomless mimosas, so you do have alcohol included, at least the mimosas, in this price. So that's going to make it a little higher. But some of the like yummy offerings that are on the menu are assorted baked goods, buttermilk pancakes, roasted potatoes, cage-free soft scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage. But the thing that stands out the most to me that I would definitely try, there's a creme brulee dipped French toast.
Ooh.
Does that not sound
That does sound
yummy?
Good. That does sound good.
But again, I don't know. I think the experience would be fun for the kids, but
yeah,
it feels a little steep to me.
So creme brulee dipped French toast sounds good. I don't know. It's just another one of those like high price like dining things that I'm not too excited about personally.
This one to me, again, it sounds really cool and magical, but I just to me that price tag's just quite a bit too steep for me. That's almost the same price as if you were to get one of the Disney After Dark night tickets. Well, the Disney 100 doesn't officially launch until next month, but merchandise is already available at Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and online at shopdisney.com. Reports from Weekly Tiers who were in the parks noted that some of the merchandise was selling out quick without even seeing it on other guests walking around. And like they didn't even get to see it in stores yet. But this, I thought, again, we've reported on the merchandise already, but previous, it sounded like they were only going to be releasing this online. They didn't actually say that it would also be in parks on the 12th when it released.
Okay.
Ooh,
I finally found something. I found a Disney 100 hat that looks kind of cool.
Now we got to cross our fingers and toes.
Mickey is wearing purple shorts.
And silver shoes.
Oh, but I love purple, but I want some more like deep purple.
I am excited to see this stuff
in person.
In person, yeah. And it looks like Tag's looking through a Mice Chat article that has photos of a lot of stuff that was seen at the parks. It's even more stuff than what we saw Disney talking about last week before when we were first reporting on this release. So I'm really excited. I love this. There's a picture frame that's like a platinum cover colored. I love it.
This looks cool.
I think that's coming home with me. I don't know. But then I have to decide what picture to put into it.
Well,
maybe one of my wedding photos.
Is a lot of this stuff I wasn't that excited about, but now I'm scrolling through this and I'm like, oh, there's a couple things here that are pretty cool. By the way, I just want to take a moment because I just saw it swoosh by and I wanted to talk about this. So we just this last week had the DL Weekly supporter ornament exchange, Secret Santa ornament exchange.
It was a Patreon event.
Yes. And oh my goodness, some of the ornaments the Weekly Tiers got for each other were amazing. Did you watch the recording?
I haven't watched the playback yet. Unfortunately, my work holiday party landed on the same night as the ornament exchange, so I wasn't able to attend in person. But if you were like me and wasn't able to attend in person but were part of the ornament exchange, it was recorded, so you can go back and watch it. So I need to go back and watch it.
So first of all, you'll be impressed because for whatever reason, my computer wouldn't share the audio with the Zoom call. So I had my phone playing the audio and somehow I got it synced up with the video.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how it worked. But also, there were some really great ornaments. Like, well, your ornament was really cool. It was the hitchhiking ghosts inside of like a globe. And then there was some light up ones that people got. There was
really?
Ones that made noise. It was awesome. So if this sounds like something fun, we do it every year. So if you become a supporter around the time of the holiday season, we do it all the time. But yeah, some of this merch looks cool. I don't see a 100 anywhere except for on the thing. It might be on the back, but it doesn't say
it
on the front.
Yeah, I was looking because this is going to sound ridiculous, Aaron. That was kind of one of the things I liked about it was that it wasn't specific to the year. I just really like the...
Well, you don't like stuff like that.
I do when I don't. Depends on the thing. No, it's just the backer. There's nothing else. Look at, though. Tinkerbell's got like a... She's got a purple little dress on.
That's cool.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that it's the color that makes it the Disney 100,
sure.
Aaron, because it's the platinum, right? Everything's platinum. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
For 100?
Yeah. Well, guests utilizing the Genie Plus service at the parks will notice some changes that just recently launched. Lightning Lane reservations can now be swapped to another reservation without first having to cancel the existing reservation. In case the Lightning Lane that you were swapping becomes unavailable, you won't lose the original booking. Reservations can also be modified to remove members of a party without having to cancel the entire reservation. Note that these changes do not apply to individual, separately paid Lightning Lane reservations, such as those with Raider Springs Racers, Rise of the Resistance, the things you pay extra for, as those are non-refundable and not eligible for modification.
Oh, dang. I do. So, I mean, I get that, but it'd be nice if it extended to that. But I don't know. This is something. So, me personally, the one and only time I used Genie Plus was when we were there last year around this time when it just happened to launch during our trip. That's the one and only time I've used Genie Plus. So to me, this sounds like it would be helpful. I don't know if it actually would be for those people using Genie Plus. You've had more experience with Genie Plus because you used it.
Not much more.
One more trip.
Yeah, but I used it incorrectly and it kicked me in the butt.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't figured out the positives with Genie Plus yet. So I do think...
Oh, there are positives?
I do think that, you know, maybe this makes it a little bit more flexible. Flexibility is good. But yeah, I still think it still needs some of the things ironed out on it. I'm going to beat this horse to death, but it needs to be more expensive and it needs to not be as widely available because they're just overselling it at this point.
Yeah.
Not as valuable to those buying it. Anyways.
We'll see what happens if anything changes with it. I doubt it, though.
A complimentary, reusable holiday tote bag is now available for Magic key holders this holiday season. Key holders can pick up their bag under the Silly Symphony Swings in Disney California Adventure. The bag is cream-colored with red lettering that says Magic Key Disneyland Resort. And the sides look kind of like a Christmas sweater print. It's super cute. Guests must present their Magic Key pass and photo ID to get the bag.
So this reminded me that I have been using all of my Disney tote bags for grocery shopping because they're really well built. They're fairly inexpensive and I like wrapping my Disney stuff. And this kind of started for me with the 2019 D23 Expo because they gave us a bunch of free ones. And then when the park started offering them for what, $1, $1.50, whatever they are, I was just like, well, this is a great deal. Of course I'm going to buy these. So you have to remind me when we were there that I need to buy more of these.
Oh, you're buying
like,
more.
I want this, but I want to buy some more because we are splitting them between the two different cars and we found that we're just using them more. So I want to get some more because they're fairly inexpensive.
They're inexpensive.
And they pack easy.
They're adorable and they last much longer than any of the other reusable bags that I have.
And I don't know if you've had to do this yet, but
well,
I would like to...
reusable, the same material.
I would like to report to everybody that you can also... we had some meat, like a package of ground beef, open up inside one. And if you put it in your washing machine on delicate, totally fine.
There you go.
So I put it through the wash and the dryer on delicate.
The dryer?
And it did it. And it did a great job. And it got the stinky beef smell out of
there
it.
There you go. Well, so not only do you get to pick up this Magic Key holder bag, there's also an exclusive photo pass shot that's happening under when you go in to get your bag. You can also do the photo pass shot with complimentary downloads of the photo if you do not have photo pass available, you know, if you didn't either buy Genie Plus or if you didn't have it included on your with your pass. But yeah, I'm very excited about this. This is again one of the dumb giveaways. Doesn't cost Disney that much money, but I get excited about it. I still wish that we had more buttons because I was looking at my collection of buttons and saw that I didn't receive this, but a weekly tier had mailed this to me. It was a Festival of the Holidays AP, Disneyland AP button that was a giveaway from, you know, back when there were APs, not magic keys.
You know, when's the last time we got a magnet?
We got one in the mail. I don't remember the last time I picked one, like when they had AP or magic key holder magnets at the parks for a giveaway. But when we renewed our keys, we got a new magic key magnet mailed to us.
That was the other question because I can't remember. Does our new key level have photo pass
it
included?
Does.
Okay, good. So we can take a lot of holiday photos.
It does. We can take all the photos.
Well, and just the interaction with the PhotoPass photographers is always a joy. Mm-hmm. We have run times for the two new nighttime shows coming to the resort for the Disney 100 celebration. Wondrous Journeys, the new fireworks show, will run 13 minutes long, and World of Color 1, the new World of Color show, will run from 23 to 24 minutes. Wondrous Journeys will feature nods to every Walt Disney Animation Studios film to date. World of Color 1 will feature how a single action creates a ripple that can grow into a wave of change.
And both of them will feature new songs.
Yeah. 13 minutes for the fireworks, so I'm a little disappointed because I like the long
ones. Me too, especially with what you just said, that the Wondrous Journeys, which is going to be the show that goes along with the fireworks, features nods to every Walt Disney Animation Studios film today. That's a lot of stuff to pack into 13 minutes. So I'm curious. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm with you. I was hoping it was going to be a little bit longer. You know, I don't know what I think my perfect length of fireworks show is. Probably closer to 20 minutes, though. Over 20 minutes, I think, is getting a little bit too long because it's, you know, you're standing there and anyways. But it has to have a good
story.
The
studio has produced 61 films. So if we take 61 and we divide that by 13. That's a little over 4.5
seconds.
Things per minute.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not.
So you get about 15 seconds per property.
Yeah. Well, and some of them might be like, they said nods. So that just might be a character pops up here and there, not necessarily they're getting an entire song's worth of stuff.
Sure.
But I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm going to not hold judgment. I'm a little nervous, but I'm not. I'm going to reserve judgment until after we get to experience it next year.
Me too.
Which is
I'm
like
excited.
Just around the corner as
right,
far as when
2023.
This is all. Well, no, but like when the Disney 100 event starts is just right around the corner too.
It's funny because usually they start these type of celebrations like at the beginning of the summer season. Mm-hmm. And this is like, we just finished the holiday season and bam, we're getting right into it.
Yeah, I like it. I'm for it.
I'm for it too.
Aviation fans will want to take notice of the Grizzly Peak Airfield plane that has just returned from refurbishment. The plane was taken to Flabob Airport in Riverside, California, and painstakingly restored. A complete paint job was done and lights were added to the interior to show off the work done inside, which is, like, from pictures, super cool.
Yeah, this does look really neat. They obviously did a really great job. If you look at some of the close-up things, it looks like a brand new plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was sent to an airport makes me think that some people that are in the aviation industry actually did this. It wasn't some, you know, overnight maintenance painting crew kind of
a
situation.
Right. I'm curious because the only thing I really remember about this thing, I don't even remember. If you have photos of this, I gotta look. I probably have photos of the plane too. I don't even remember what the if I could see inside or what the inside looked like or anything like that. That's how not interested in this plane I was. And the only thing I can remember is the last couple of times I saw it, both of the wheels were flat. And it just made me really, really sad that it was just sitting on this like flat, terrible, like rotten rubber looking wheels, and I'm just like, this poor plane. I just remember feeling bad for the plane. So I'm glad that it got the TLC that it so deserves.
Yeah, it looks way different because it used to be silver and red.
That used to be a while ago, though.
Yeah, like in the beginning. And then and then they changed it to this tan and
but I don't even remember the color. Like I feel like the windows were kind of foggy before, and it was these look like crisp, clear, easy to look into. They want you to look into them windows. I don't remember them really wanting you to necessarily look inside the plane before.
I don't remember ever paying that close attention to this specific thing. I kind of always walked by and was like, well, that's an interesting prop.
Well, I tell you what, I'm paying real close attention this next time we go because it looks cool from the photos that we've seen.
This is like way back when. This is like when DCA first opened.
Yep.
Well, Disenchanted stars Amy Adams and Maya Rudolph celebrated the release of the movie on Disney Plus by visiting the parks recently. The Disney Parks blog posted a video of the two enjoying the park for the day, meeting characters, and sharing in a few surprises, which you can check out at the link in our show notes. Did you watch this video? It's cute.
I didn't have time to watch the video, but I had seen some posts on social media and stuff like the day and the day after that they were there, and it just looked like they were having so much fun. They were kind of like in their respective characters a little bit during their thing there, and maybe that's just their personalities just kind of are like Giselle and I can't remember what the new evil queen's name is, but anyways, what Maya Rudolph's character is, I have not seen Disenchanted yet, so I apologize. But yeah, they just look like they were having a ball.
Malvina. So I'm just laughing because in one scene they've got the Evil Queen and Maya Rudolph is talking to the Evil Queen, trying to get tips on how to get the smirking and the whatever face is there. And of course, Giselle is off prancing around and talking to Snow White.
That makes perfect
sense. She actually
sings
a little bit too, which was fun that...
That Snow White does or Giselle?
Giselle does. So it was cute. I thought it was really clever, kind of like tie in with the movie. We did a movie night for our weekly tiers, and I was not able to watch this then. So I want to watch this. I just haven't had time. Maybe if I end up having time on the plane or something, I'll watch it.
Well, and it might just be me, but when I saw the preview of this and realized like that it was almost like the opposite of Enchanted, I got confused and not as excited. So,
because the original one is like she's in the real world.
Yeah,
and
she's basically like a cartoon princess that gets plopped in the real world and is still pretending, you know, still acting as she did in the cartoon world. And everything's fine and perfect. And I have all of these little critters that help me do all the chores and like just really, really upbeat. So
this one is like the opposite.
She has a flip and so she was enchanted. Now she's disenchanted. She turns evil almost.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Right.
I'll give it a watch
though. I remember Enchanted gave me that kind of feel of like the precursor to all of the Wreck-It Ralph Disney princesses that were like ridiculous in there. So
yep.
That's kind of what reminded.
Enchanted was over the top with all the like positivity and like living in the real world versus the cartoon fantasy world. Yeah.
And yet, somehow it still worked for her, because, didn't she sing and, like, all the animals came around and everything?
Yep, still worked for her. It was great. I just need to figure out how to make that work for me.
Good luck with that.
Pilots, we've detected some producer questions near Jakku. Report to your DL Weekly vessels and make the jump to hyperspace. The 77 Squadron will provide support during your trivia mission. Good luck, and may the Force be with you.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? You excited for the upcoming trip and you think you got some great questions in your head? Or some great answers to questions in your head?
Of course we're excited, and I hope that we have some good answers in our heads. We'll find out, though.
This will be our last trivia of the year, isn't it? Because we take the break.
This is our last trivia of the year.
Because next week we will have no news, but we'll have discussion from Disneyland.
Yep, so we'll have our trip, part of our discussion from Disneyland. And then, the week after that's, we always take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. So the last week of the year we are off. So we don't have trivia again until the first week of January.
Goodness gracious. Well, all right. Your first listener submitted question tonight from listener Chris Y. How much does the pirate say he will pay for the rum as the auctioneer is selling the hens? In Pirates of the Caribbean, of course.
Pay for the rum?
He says something about 6 bottles of rum it'll be or something.
I just remember like 10 for the hen. A hen for 10 or 10 for hen.
A hen for a 10, a 10 for a hen.
Something about 10. I don't remember anybody buying rum though. I just remember Red saying, "It's the rum they want, don't you boys?" I don't remember anything. Quit your clucking. I just remember 10.
I feel
10.
I have such fragmented...
It's the only thing I remember.
I have such fragmented pieces of this conversation that happens in there. I mean, can we pause and I'll tell you next week?
Yeah. We'll call you with the answer next week.
I don't know. I'll...
You said 6 bottles. I mean, I don't even remember the 6 bottles.
Yeah, I don't know. 10.
You're not going to go with your 6, huh?
No, because I think that's a different thing.
Both of you saying 10. All right. Final answer.
10 what? But 10 of them.
Just 10.
All right.
10 doubloons? I don't know.
Sure. All right. Your second question submitted by listener Donna S. What was the first year Disneyland made the hand-pulled candy canes?
Ooh.
We had this before, didn't we?
Yes, we have. And I'm trying to remember if...
Was it in the 80s or something?
It's either much, much more recent than you would think.
Even 80s? Like more recent than the 80s?
I don't know.
I'm just gonna throw out a number, Vern. 1993.
What happened in the 80s?
You made me think that it was sooner.
For some reason, 91 sticking in my head. It's probably not, but you're saying 93.
93.
I could be very wrong, and it was actually, like, way earlier.
1991. All right. And branching off of that same question submitted by listener Donna S., how long are the hand-pulled candy canes, and how much do they weigh?
Ooh,
I'll give you within 2 inches and within 2 ounces.
I think they're 13 inches long. Ah, how much do they weigh? Wait a minute. Okay, long, like when it's done, or from like tip to tip? And I have to include the curve.
Question just says how long.
Okay, I'm going to say 13 inches.
I'm going to say 14 inches. And I'm going to say they weigh, and you're looking for how much for weight? Like what measurement?
Ounces.
Ounces.
And I'm giving you within 2.
Within 2 ounces.
I'm going to say 10 ounces.
Well, that's what I was going to say too.
Well, we can both say 10 ounces.
All right. Final answer.
Yeah.
Final.
Okay. And your fourth and final regular round question submitted by listener Stacia S. How many times does Zero appear in Haunted Mansion Holiday and where?
Oh.
Starting from the stretching room.
So Zero appears in the endless hallway.
He also appears next to Jack Skellington.
And in the main hall.
In the ballroom, right?
Yep.
Is he not in the background of Jack in the stretching room when Jack talks to us?
Oh, yeah. Does that count?
In the attraction.
Yeah. It's always one of those things. Some people think the attraction starts at one point.
Vern, where do you think the attraction starts?
For purposes of this question, I'm going to argue that the attraction starts in the stretching room.
Okay.
Okay, so he's in the stretching room, too, with Jack. So stretching room, hallway.
No, he's... Wait. Are you talking about the hallway when you get off the stretching room?
Because
he flies between all the things.
Yep.
But he's also in the ballroom, isn't he?
We already said the ballroom.
Okay, I just want to make sure that those were two separate things.
He's in the stretching room, too.
Yeah, and he's in the graveyard.
Yep, right here.
I know, but I'm just making sure that we're on the same page.
Okay, so we'll go from start to finish. So he's in the stretching room.
Yep.
Then he's in the hallway.
With the portraits.
Yeah, the portrait hallway. Then you get on a ride. You get on your doom buggy.
Yep.
Then he's in the endless hallway next to you.
That's the mirrored thing off in the distance with the bones, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Then you see him in the ballroom. And then you see him lastly in the ballroom. He's putting the tree topper on.
Yep.
And then you see him next to Jack in the graveyard.
Okay. He's nowhere else after that.
Nope.
Okay.
So 5 times.
Who's... Oh, that's little
that's
Sally
little
at the
Sally.
End.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Final answer.
So final answer.
What do we have? Five?
Five.
Yeah. All final right. answer.
And your bonus question tonight, also submitted by listener Stacia S. How many times does Jack Skellington appear in the Haunted Mansion Holiday and where?
So he's in the stretching room. He is also
in the portrait,
portrait hallway.
Wait. Zero wasn't in the package thing in the beginning, was he? Where they've got all the packages and they've got... Okay.
No. So Jack's in the stretching room. He's in the portrait hallway before you get on your doom buggy. And then he's also in the graveyard.
That's it. Okay.
So 3 times.
Man, Zero's everywhere and Jack's just kind of sort of there.
It's because he has such an awesome animatronic at the end.
All right. Final answers. All right. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic and we will all find out together.
So now I need to ask, because I'm curious, how long does it take for you to make each pack? Like the printing, the stickers, the everything.
So the actual physical making of the pack, once we've gone through all the several hours of taking photos and actually editing all the photos, because every photo is custom cut out to be what the item is you're looking for. Okay. Right? It's not like you're just taking a square and being like, here's a photo I took, it's on a card. It's one element of theming that's been carefully cut out. And so you don't know the size, you don't know if it's big or small, high, down, low.
Gotcha.
I do have to share that something that I loved about your booth at Disneyana. And there's a story that I want to share that I don't know if I've ever shared on the podcast. So my friends and I, when we used to go all the time in the early 2000s, when we would go on things like Splash Mountain, things that would take your photo, and you've got this for your safety. Everybody knows the for your safety thing. So it's got the, we call, so if anybody who's ever watched South Park. Mm. They look like the little South Park crazy Canadians. So we would go on like Splash Mountain. Mm-hmm. And the graphic, for those of you listening, I'm trying to explain that it kind of looks like they're like tilting sideways out of the thing. So,
and like they're falling out of the ride vehicle.
And they have a no, like don't do that. And so in what we would do when we would go to the park is we would yell to the rest of the log is the one I always remember because we always did it on Splash Mountain. But we did it on other ones. But Splash Mountain was the one that I remember most. We would yell, "Crazy Canadians!" And then we would all alternate back and forth like we were falling out of the log to mimic the safety sign. And you were selling magnets of this safety sign. And of course I had to buy one because of that inside joke.
You were too busy buying that when I was talking to them about being on the podcast.
They were hitting my nostalgia.
Yeah, those actually predate We're in the Park. Mm-hmm. I wanted one for my car, and I couldn't find one anywhere. So I was like, I'm making this.
See, this is how it starts. Yeah. You it's like, oh, I want that. I bet I could make that. And then it just evolves, and now you have this fun scavenger hunt business because of it.
It's kind of snowballs. Yeah.
I also want to go back quick, because you said micehunt.com, and micehunt.com is still a thing.
It's still up. We just haven't updated it in, I don't even know how, at least a decade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Flats was still Condor Flats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you go on the scavenger hunt, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah. Bug's Life was still there.
Please don't show this to the Trivia Land folks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And that was all done on your phone. Wow. And so the idea of that was that you could set up your own scavenger hunt on your phone. You can have it timed if you want. There's a bunch of different features on there. And we provided the images or a trivia question, however you wanted to do it. But that's kind of the baby to Where in the Park.
That's so cool.
I still think it's neat.
Mm-hmm.
You guys could have a website that you could subscribe people to as well.
This is a fun, at home. Like, we could play this game while we're wishing we were in Disneyland.
Right.
We're trying to sharpen our trivia skills for James and Vern in Trivia Land. So, I have to ask, since there is another kind of, I guess, famous type of, not really a scavenger hunt, but kind of a scavenger hunt, but more of like a challenge in the park. Since you guys are pros with the scavenger hunt part, have you ever taken part in the gumball rally that Mice Chat puts on?
We have never done the gumball rally. We've wanted to, but it's not really like you said, it's not a scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. It's more of a marathon, right?
Yeah.
And we have never had it work into our schedule where they're holding it at a time that we were going to be like not busy with something else. Maybe
so not yet. Yeah. It's on the list of things to do. We haven't done it yet either. We've heard fun things. It sounds really fun, but it sounds like it could be very intense too.
Yeah, I don't think we would. I think we would.
We wouldn't be winning.
No,
we would do it for the enjoyment of doing it. So how do you guys kind of try and how do I want to say this? Since you guys like doing the scavenger hunt stuff, that's how this all started. Do you guys still try and do any sort of scavenger hunt things? Or now that you're kind of on the creator side of it, you don't feel like
if we can find one, we would do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just hard to find right now. I know they're talking. There's rumors about the reservation system finally going away. A lot of the scavenger hunts that people hold, it's a big event.
Oh,
that's what we were trying to get away from with our packs.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like something you can actually do on your own time. Where if it existed, we would be buying it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're like, let's just make this so it exists.
The other thing is that those that have individual scavenger hunts aren't necessarily specific to the park.
Etsy, they have like a few things where you can get like bingo cards and scavenger hunts. We're just kind of vague, like it's like a checklist of find a statue, find a fountain,
a princess.
Just kind of silly things where
fun for kids or fun for your first time, those sort of things.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe not.
But
for
when you're
the,
serious about it,
the theme insane. Park crazy nut people that we are. Yep, I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking, and again, this is just me thinking, is with queues and everything, how we have all this lovely time that we get to spend in queues. I know that none of your packs currently have anything queue specific, but has there been thoughts or talk about doing queue specific things to help pass time while we're waiting?
And we have that every day, every weekday on our YouTube and Facebook and Instagram pages.
Ooh,
we call them standby quests.
Look at that.
And so every day is a different park.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. We might not stick to the same schedule as we unroll the Florida parks.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the idea is that every day it's a different park, though.
But you get a card, mm-hmm. exactly like our cards in our packs, but it's a picture of something that is actually in line. And so we've done the same thing, taken the pictures. He's used the Illustrator and Photoshop to put it on the cards. And in the video that we have every day, we have the card that's spinning and it scratches off the hint. And then you tell us what the answer is. Where in the park can you find this image?
How fun.
All right, Teresa, we've got one here from November 30th, 2022. It's in DCA. It looks like
an acorn.
Acorn. Where do you think this is?
Well, it's no. I don't know.
You don't,
you don't know? Flat nose.
There's, there's a hint.
Okay, so there's the hint. This itsy bitsy acorn can be found in line for a ride at DCA. Do you know which one?
And there's some italicized words.
Yeah, itsy bitsy.
Itsy bitsy.
Oh, it's got to be web slingers then.
A web
slinger. There you go.
We make it easy.
Web slingers? Do you...
I was I'll be honest. I was thinking web slingers because of the shape.
Hexagon.
Yep, because of the hexagon. But I'm like, why would there be an acorn?
Okay, so now here's the fun part.
Where
is that exactly? So now that you know where it is,
we're gonna have to pay attention.
Now you can go next time you're at the parks. Go to our Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube pages. If you go to YouTube, it has it broken down in categories by park.
Mm. Oh.
So then you can look at of our videos and have your own scavenger hunt while you're in line.
Wow. So again, just to remind everyone, it's Where in the Park.
We'll link it in the
show notes. On YouTube, same handle for Instagram, and same on Facebook, all of them, Where in the Park.
We're all at Where in the Park on everything.
Perfect.
And so for our standby quests, the first person to answer correctly as to where in the park it is, we will give them a prize.
Oh,
either
fun.
It'll be a coupon to our Etsy page or a free pack.
Yeah, it depends on what we say it's going to be.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
But the prize changes each day, so it's not always the same.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
How fun.
That's awesome. I'm going to find myself just looking at these just at home trying to figure things out.
That's why we make them.
That's awesome.
It's like practice for when
this is terrible because now I want to buy all of these packs and I want to because we're going to the park soon.
We are going to the park soon.
I want to do one. I think we should buy this one
mm-hmm.
and compete with each other when we're in the park.
We could do that or we could do it together. I feel like
we should compete.
Competing would have to go our separate ways and ignore each other the entire day.
Not necessarily. We could just do it as we walk around.
I'm going to get distracted.
Yeah, you can always meet up later. It's fine.
Yeah. We do provide instructions with all of our packs just as a guideline to kind of get your brain thinking of how to play, but you can steer from that however you want.
It's your game. It's kind of like Monopoly, you know, there's house rules.
Yeah.
It's fine. We tell you how to play, but you can do whatever you want. We're not going to enforce anything.
Right.
See, the cool thing is we could dual use these because we wouldn't get the answer, I guess. Because I was going to say we could do it once, and then when James and Vern go, they could do the same cards. We could, reuse them.
Oh.
But if you've already scratched off the answer.
If you do the competition pack.
Yeah.
It's in a sealed envelope.
That's true.
And it's a full sheet of paper.
Yeah, you just reseal
the envelope. Just reseal the envelope.
Oh, there we go. I like this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
So we talked about Disneyland, because, of course, we love Disneyland. And we love... Most of us love DCA.
Hey.
So what other parks are there? You guys kind of hinted that you went and did research in Florida for some parks, but are there any other California parks? Where else can people play this fun game?
Yeah. So in addition to the Disneyland Resort, we have Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios Hollywood, and SeaWorld San Diego. And we are currently working on...
Yeah, we're... pretty much done with the Magic Kingdom. We just needed to package those ones. I think we got all the hints and answers already set for those.
Yes.
For all the other parks, we're still working on the hints and answers, which is a lot more complicated than people probably even need. But they probably just want the images, but we like to give you a hint.
The hint helps though, because then if you're totally stuck or if it's just, you know, you're not as deep in the theme park world, that's perfect.
We've done scavenger hunts where we still don't know where the images are.
Yeah.
Because there was no hint or answer. Yeah. So it's kind of what we wanted. That's what we made.
The fun out of it.
Well,
too,
then it's like eating at you in the back. Like, where is this? Exactly. Where is this? I know where this is. Where is it? Yep. I get it.
But yeah, so Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, the big four, over at Walt Disney World. And then we went to Universal Studios over there. So Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios Florida, I think is what they call it. And SeaWorld Orlando. So we went to all seven of those. And we took thousands of photos, and we have them all kind of filtered out and all set to go. So we hope to have those out by the 1st of January. I know we're kind of hoping for Christmas, but it's just a lot more time than you'd expect.
I'm trying to remember where everything was and what was around it so you can have a hint for it. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. That's, wow. I'm impressed that you have all of the California parks that you do. And then also now that you're adding all of the Florida, like, that's just...
Well, you got to keep up on all of it because you got to keep up on the news and everything of what's going away or coming. And that's...
Well, and the thing with the Florida parks, we went in September, took all of the photos, and the day we were supposed to take off to go back to California is when Hurricane Ian hit.
Oh!
So we don't even know if the pictures that we have...
We don't know it all got wiped away by the hurricane. We're hoping things are still there.
Yeah.
So
so we have some friends in Florida, luckily, who are going to be looking at them for us. So
there you go.
Make sure that we're correct with our choices.
So with all the other parks, is it like Disneyland and the DCA park where there's the kind of like the mini pack and then also the... big pack? Are there the two versions, or are those a little
we're gonna do the fun pack and we're calling the challenge pack, where it's a 30 card pack.
Okay, cool.
And we haven't really decided on the competition sets or not. I think we'll likely do those. So it's kind of those three. Those are our big three.
As a crazy person like I am, do you offer a pack with like everything? Like, if you wanted to get every pack you offered, is there something where you could buy all of them, or do you have to just go and buy all of them?
Currently have on our Etsy page, we have a SoCal bundle.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So for the fun packs, you can get a SoCal bundle of just pack A, just pack B, or just pack C, or you can get all of them, which is all 12. We currently don't have SeaWorld in that lineup, but we will. And then same thing for the complete packs and the competition packs.
Wow.
Well, we have a SoCal bundle for those as well.
I just found it on your Etsy and I'm like, holy.
We're going to revamp it so that way you pick however many you want. You know, so it can be like a pick your three, pick your four, and it makes it a little bit easier for you instead of it like, here's the four.
Yeah, we're not sure we're going to bundle the California and the Florida packs.
Sure.
If you're interested in that, please let us know, listeners.
Right. But if you have a Florida pack and you have a California pack, it's easy enough to buy the two packs.
Right.
And you've got like
I'm trying to think what else. So is there going to be a Disney Cruise Line?
Oh my goodness.
I guess
there's so many ships. I don't know if that's feasible.
We're working on first,
research. Think of all the research you get to do,
right?
And all the time you get to do out, you know, out in the ocean.
It is on
research.
Our bucket list to do a Disney cruise.
Okay, we've not done one yet.
Oh yeah, Lonnie, there you go.
Overseas parks.
You go to Paris.
Yeah.
Shanghai.
Yeah. If you want to do Paris, let me know because I'm going to Paris this summer. I could probably get some photos for you. I can't get you a ton of stuff, but I can get you some.
Nice. Yeah, what we're going to be working on first before we expand to other parks and stuff is working on kid packs.
Oh, cool. Fun.
So it's going to be focused on just one land, like Fantasyland, and they're going to be like bigger iconic images for younger guests.
That'll be a hit.
That's awesome.
That's going to be our next big project.
I love
that's
this.
That's cool. I do too.
It was funny because at Disney Anna, we were all so overwhelmed with everything, and I got squirreled with the magnet situation. And so when you explained it to me when I was there, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, scavenger hunt. But now that like you've explained,
super
now
cool.
that I've like not been divided by like a thousand things and you've explained it. I'm like super stoked to order some of these because, like I said, it's, you know, we've gone to the parks now enough that it's cool to have something new to kind of figure out and try to use our existing knowledge to find these things, which may not be so easy to find.
You can let us know how challenging they are. Definitely.
You could have a whole event later where you could have like a day where all the people come and you have like a special event, like one.
There you go,
anyway.
A special pack. Yeah, you can have a Wear in the Park day with a.
That'd be so cool.
Special collector's edition pack or something.
The key to that is to have a following.
Yeah.
We're still building our following. Yeah. That's true. Again, social media, Wear in the Park.
Yeah. So maybe for our 5-year anniversary. We'll do a big event.
There you go. And it can be all DCA and World of Color related.
Yeah. Well, just your pack is going to be just DCA related.
Yeah, too.
They're going to make you fall in love with the park. They're going to be like, look at all these cool details.
No.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I don't know which pack we're going to get, but we're going to get a pack before our next trip.
We're probably going to order it tonight.
We have to order it tonight to make sure it's
here by
in time.
The time we get it. I think we just need what's your recommended pack?
Yeah, what? So for a first time pack buyer, what should we get?
So it's dependent on what you want to do with your day at the park. So for our fun packs, we kind of, based on what people have said, it's taken about an hour to 2 hours-ish.
Or more.
Of course, if you spread it out across the day, to complete a pack. The larger packs are going to take you a longer amount of time. So if your main focus is to ride the rides, meet with the princesses and characters, get a fun pack. If you want a bigger challenge, if you're planning on playing over multiple visits.
Oh, yeah.
Or spending more time looking for the details, then get a complete pack or the challenge pack once we launch the challenge packs. And then if you're going in multiple groups and you want to have the challenge, think of the challenge pack.
Or competition pack.
Sorry, competition pack.
So question for you, because you just got my wheels spinning here. So we know that the fun packs and the challenge packs overlap. So if you get the fun packs, you're getting some of the same cards as what you'd be getting in the challenge packs. Is that the same with the challenge pack and the competition pack, or are those separate cards? Okay, good to know.
They're the same 30.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The series one for all of ours have the same 30 cards.
Gotcha. Good
for all the parks, it's their own individual 30 cards for each park.
We should get this.
Well, I was thinking we'll get the 30 pack with the scratchy things, so then we have the hints that we could just scratch if we wanted. But if it's this, then you want to do the competition, then we've already done it, so we can't do it. Can't do it twice.
Until we come out with series two.
Until series two.
I mean, you guys have a lot of options, you know, which is good. Mm-hmm. But then it's just like, you know, it's like all of them.
And we also have the Disneyland Resort bundle. So there's a Disneyland and a DCA pack. But the fun packs make great stocking stuffers.
Ooh, there you go.
So if you order quickly, we can get it to you before Christmas. And the fun packs fit in stockings.
What is the cutoff date for Christmas shipping? Do you?
In the U.S.
Like next week.
Gotcha.
As soon as this drops.
As soon as you can.
So,
instantly. Don't even think about it. Just go buy packs.
Right.
So would it be by December 9th?
December 9th at the very latest.
Okay.
We do offer free shipping. That's standard shipping. Mm-hmm. If you need something expedited, that would be more depending on obviously where you are and how fast you need it. Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely order as soon as possible to get it in before Christmas.
I love that. Think about like if you're gifting your family like a Disney trip, and this could maybe be the thing that, you know, one of the things that they open under the tree to kind of to either go along with the trip, or this could be part of the trip announcement, because you'd open these like, why do I need
What am I going to do with this?
Well, what do I need this is this? Yep.
Yeah, so or if you have Disney gift cards that you give to your family or friends, you can have this in the pack as well.
Have a fun little game, or just the crazy Disney nerds that the four of us are, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
And park nerds, you know, that'd just be a great present for them as well. I love this.
I also love the fact that you have it for other parks too, because if there's somebody who's like a Universal Studios fan.
I'm thinking about this. It's super, I think this is going to be super fun for us being big Disneyland DCA people, but we don't know anything about Knott's. We don't know hardly anything about Universal. So I think it'd be a fun thing when we do go to those parks to take those with to kind of help focus our attention in, and also, you know, point out things that we probably wouldn't have noted, right. You know, kind of use it as like a way to kind of immerse ourselves in a different way and learn the parks.
Mm-hmm. So you've never been to either of those?
I've been to Universal, and we've been to Knott's, but only when the attraction, it was during, they were still closed
for
COVID.
So we went to, the Boysenberry Fest in 2021.
The food events.
And then I've not been to Universal Hollywood. I've been to Universal in Florida, but not Hollywood. And all I did in Universal in Florida was go to the Harry Potter areas. I did just kind
which
of like
amazing.
Beelined through the rest of the park and just went right back into
areas. That is the pinnacle of those parks.
So that's, I
agree.
I know like nothing when it comes to those parks as far as details and stuff go. So yeah.
Well.
Yeah, so you definitely need to go.
Mm-hmm. Now that everybody needs to stop listening to go buy some packs for Christmas, we should wrap up with our final question for
you guys. And again, it's whereinthepark.com.
Well, if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. Could be a real job, a made-up job. What would you do?
Janitor? Is that what you're saying? No. For me, it definitely would be a tour guide, either for like one of the big tours or for the individuals. I want to be a plaid.
There you go.
That's what it comes down to.
Did you listen to our episode with Philander?
I have not listened to that one yet. I've listened to a lot of them.
He's a plaid. I think we had 3 episodes with him. He's amazing. Yep. Amanda, what would you be?
This is a very tough question. I would love to do something in the confectionery world. Ooh. Either making like wedding cakes or like, I don't think being like in front of the window where everybody's like, oh my God.
You don't want to be the exhibit.
I don't want to be in the fish tank, but I think seeing everybody's excitement of me making a caramelized apple would be awesome. But I think being kind of behind the scenes in making all of the cupcakes and cakes and Rice Krispie treats and Tigger Tails and all of that would be a ton of fun. I don't do any of that. But you said sky's the limit. I don't have to be good at it right now. But yes, I think that would be amazing.
That's cool. I've never thought of that, but that would be fun.
I think about being in the fishbowl, and I feel like your first few days, it's probably very like nerve-wracking that people are like watching you. But then I think at some point you just like tune it out. Like, yep, there's people at the window again. Like,
two-way mirror.
Exactly.
That'd be funny.
Well, some people get really into it. Like, they'll wave at like little kids, especially they'll interact with. So
I'm that person that stops and watches. I think a lot of people obviously are, but my favorite thing burned in my memory from that is watching them make the poison apple caramel apples. I love watching them put that face on there. I don't know what it is about that, but it's just so cool.
Because it's a free hand.
Yeah.
And they do it so fast. Together.
Yeah. It's so cool.
I watch these people and you look at them and you're like, oh, that looks so easy. And then you try to do it, and it comes out all globby and stuff's going everywhere. And you're like, I don't understand the physics.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Exactly.
All right. So, sure that our people know where they can go find this stuff, and for people who are dense like me, could you tell us, first of all, where people could go to buy the stuff, what your social media addresses are, and then one last time, the different packs you have. Not the different, but like the difference between like the single thing, you know, because dense like me, dense.
Yeah. All right. You can find us at whereinthepark.com. That's W-H-E-R-E. It's kind of like, do you know where in the park these images are? Perfect. So just whereinthepark.com. And that's the same thing that we have for our social media handles. So it's just at whereinthepark for everything.
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
We have a TikTok, but we haven't added anything to it.
We're not that cool.
I don't know anything about TikTok yet either myself, so don't feel bad.
We have it reserved. And then our packs, we have the small packs we have are called fun packs. Then we have a bigger pack that's going to be called a challenge pack. Right now, I think it's a complete set is what it's called. And then we have a competition set. Those are all available on our Etsy. And again, whereinthepark.etsy.com, and you can get links to that right off of our website. And make it easy enough.
Well, as soon as we get done here, I know we're going to probably go buy a pack or two. So we're going to do that. Make sure we get it before our trip. And we'll report back on the podcast how fun this was. I'm sure it's going to be a blast. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had them in our hands right now, and I wish we were going to the park tomorrow because it sounds like a lot of fun. And you guys have made it sound even more fun. So yeah. I'm very excited to do this for sure.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on the show, chatting with us about your Disney story, but then also the story about Where in the Park and, you know, how that all came to be and what it is and how great it is. I was excited about this before. I'm even more excited about it now. So thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
of course.
Really excited to be here.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out how you did tonight and how many correct answers and all these points we got to add up and see how you did. So how do you feel? How do you think you did?
I'm feeling pretty all right.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
All right. Well,
could have done better. Could have done worse.
Okay. Well, let's find out. Your first question, submitted by listener Chris Y. How much does the pirate say he will pay for the rum as the auctioneer is selling the hens?
I feel like I'm going to be like, oh!
After some debate, you just settled on 10. Not knowing what 10 was, just saying 10. Mm-hmm. The answer that I was given was 20.
Oh, we were halfway there.
What 20 what, though?
Not saying what 20 was, just 20.
Okay.
Dang.
Wow. Well, you know what, Teresa? Between the two of us, we got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
If you just added our answers together.
That's how it works,
there.
Right? That's yeah. how it works.
I'm going to pay attention next week when we're on the ride. Because yep. I do not have any memory of this line being said. So now I'm like a dog with a bone. I need to... Where is it?
Yeah.
I need to know.
And your second regular round question submitted by listener Donna S. What was the first year Disneyland made the hand-pulled candy canes? You were debating, was it longer ago than you would think or more recently than you would think? You talked yourselves into 1993 or 1991. It was longer ago than
Dang
you
it.
Would think. The answer I was looking for was 1968.
Oh.
All hope is gone. I only have hope for the last, the final question.
Your third regular round question submitted also by listener Donna S. How long are the hand-pulled candy canes and how much do they weigh? I gave you a grace of 2 inches and 2 ounces. You answered with Tag saying 14 inches and 10 ounces, and Teresa saying 13 inches and 10 ounces. The correct answer I was looking for was 18 inches long and 5 ounces.
Oh, we're terrible, Tag.
Wow, we were way off.
That is a huge candy cane. You had a sweet tooth.
So that had to have been, that must be, I'm going to need to pay attention because now I'm wondering if that includes, like, is it just if, like, as it stands or is that the entire, like, length with the curve?
I don't know. We could have checked mine at home because since you pointed it out that I still had it sitting there.
You're terrible. Terrible, terrible.
I just thought it was okay.
And your fourth and final regular round question submitted by listener Stacia S. How many times does Zero appear in Haunted Mansion Holiday and where? You answered 5. The stretching room, the portrait hallway, the other hallway, the graveyard.
The other hallway, the ballroom?
Oh, and you said the ballroom. Sorry.
The okay, so we did
yeah,
endless
the
hallway?
Endless hallway. Yeah. The portrait hallway, the endless hallway, the graveyard, and the ballroom. The correct answer I was looking for was 5. The stretching room, the portrait hallway, the endless hallway, the graveyard, and pulling the sleigh across the moon.
I told you! So which one
wait
did we...
Minute, wait
which
a minute,
one did
wait
we,
a minute. Say that again.
Where were the locations?
The stretching room.
Okay.
The portrait hallway. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The endless hallway. He's mm-hmm. next to yep. the knight. In the graveyard. Ballroom. And pulling the sleigh across the moon.
He's in the ballroom, though. We'll let you know for sure next week.
I think it goes...
Week.
Oh, right there. So the real answer is 5.
6. The real answer is 6. Because they missed the ballroom.
The tree. Yep.
But we missed the moon.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so we stand corrected. You were still wrong. So now that we know you're wrong, I'm going to change your score to incorrect.
Well, and that also
Thank
means
you for
we're
pointing
wrong
that out.
For Jack.
Why?
Because he was in the sleigh.
Was he?
Yeah.
All right, so your bonus question tonight, how many times does Jack appear in the Haunted Mansion Holiday and where? Your answer was 3, the stretching room, the portrait hallway, and the graveyard. The correct answer that I was looking for was 5. The stretching room, Santa Claus picture in the portrait hallway, Jack Skellington picture in the picture gallery hallway, the graveyard, and flying across the moon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would have counted the portrait hallway as one.
No, because there's two of him in there, yeah. So that would
He just
sense.
Changes outfits, though.
Are you sure?
to YouTube we go again. Yeah, he just changes outfits because he's in the same pose.
But is it the same frame?
I don't. It's so they're magical. Well, you've been there. It's a magic photo.
It's been
no, but he's saying that there's he's in two different photos.
This holiday overlay, is it two different frames? Because that would be two different images.
No, it's the same frame that changes. Oh wait, he's in the stretching room twice. Did you see that?
What do you mean?
Right there, and he's one of the portraits.
Is he?
He's a stretching room portrait, and he's on the ceiling.
Oh yeah, he's right there.
And he's a stretching room portrait.
Well, and Zero's here too.
Zero's in there. Oh man, this is just getting. Oh, he's in there twice.
Oh my goodness.
We're fighting more Jacks. Okay, so Jack is actually in the stretching room 3 times. There was two.
It is
two pictures. Okay,
he's down here. He's okay, right here.
Because that middle one is like. It changes
like
to Santa Jack. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. So what did we just say? There's 3 Jacks in the stretching room. Because
and there's
you have...
another Zero. Oh, no. This is the one that flies
That's
around.
That's the magical one. So back to the Jacks. We've got 3 in the stretching room. You've got 2 in stretching room portraits, plus the one that comes to life on the ceiling. And then there are 2 different portraits of the 4 portraits in the next hallway that have Jack in it. So you've got the one that changes from him being the Pumpkin King to Sandy Claus. And then you also have one of him as Sandy Claus in a sleigh.
I'm just making sure that we didn't miss one of these portrait
halls.
Well, now
halls, I think
there's 2 of
now
him so
I'm
far.
Wondering
is there a
if
3rd?
Zero's in here twice.
Well, because see, I thought Zero was
I think
up
Zero
here.
Flies around up there.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's a spider.
And he's now in that portrait that we forgot about. He's in the sleigh portrait with Jack in the stretching room. Dang. This is quite the
I'm
question.
Sorry, but our trivia this week was a mess.
Yes, it was. So I'm pretty sure he flies. Yep, there he is.
Yep, there's Zero. There's Jack.
Okay, so Zero's really in the Haunted Mansion 7 times. He's in the stretching room twice, once on a portrait, once on the ceiling screen. And then you see him in the hallway flying through all the magical photos. You next see him in the endless hallway, the ballroom scene, and then with Jack in the graveyard scene. And then also there's one more projection of Zero as he and Jack fly across the moon next to little Sally. And then Jack, so far, maybe we'll find more. Who knows? At this rate, we'll probably find more. Jack is in the stretching room 3. Okay, let me think.
2 times on the portraits
and
1 on the ceiling.
3, 6. Jack's in there 6 times. He's in the stretching room 3 times, 2 portraits inside of the stretching room, plus the ceiling of the stretching room. He's in the portrait hallway twice in 2 separate portraits, one that he's Santa Jack in the sleigh, one that he is the Pumpkin King that then morphs into Santa Jack or Sandy Claus.
Yep.
And then he's in the graveyard,
yep,
the big animatronic, and then one final time flying across the moon. So take that back. Jack's there 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times also.
Because is Jack here? Jack is here.
Yay.
Yep.
What a question.
You know who we should have had on to tell us that? We should have had Kim Irvine. She could have told us
all of that.
She could have
told us all of them. Yep. What a question.
All right, Vern, now that we've...
Who knows? If you find more Jacks or Zeros in Haunted Mansion Holiday, let us know. I know my eyes are going to be like extra wide open and peeled trying to make sure we didn't miss any of them.
Well, listeners, how do you feel about how they did tonight? How did you do listening at home? Do you think you've got some great questions that can really stump them next time? If you've got that perfect question to send in to us, feel free to do so at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information right from the parks.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks, and we might even be there.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When it comes to family vacations, there are a million different trips you can take. You can get your own trip to Texas. Or if you prefer a vacation from your family, you can always get your own leave the kids with grandma. Yay! Trip to Texas. So go to traveltexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.